Jesus continued, "Truly, what you are up against is far beyond your human intellect to combat. But having accepted me into your heart as your ruler and God, you immediately are equipped with armor, a code language the enemy cannot crack or understand, angels to not only watch over you, but to do your bidding. And last, but far from the least, a cloud of witnesses cheering and sighing with all their hearts, knowing the trials before you and the great reward that lies ahead of you." And then the Lord plunged me into a new concept. Wow, I struggled with this one. Here's what he said. "I am deeply grieved for the separation of my body and those who have taught this error, that those in heaven are separated from those on earth. Do you understand, my people? Do you understand there is but one head on my body? What is the implication of this truth? It means you are forever united to one another, whether in or out of the body on earth. Your spirit has been exalted as co-heirs with me. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building on heaven and in earth, fitly framed together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Ephesians 2, the King James Version, and I added my little remark in the middle of that paragraph. Jesus continued, "Yes, you are fellow citizens with the saints, not isolated, but fitly framed together, growing into one holy temple in me. In me you are built together and are my habitation through the Spirit. Do you understand, children still under instruction? You are one with me, with my body, and you cannot exclude the great cloud of witnesses. I have taught you, when you see or hear tragedy, your great sigh of compassion is heard by my Father in heaven as a prayer. Do you understand, my people? The cloud laughs with those who laugh and cries with those who cry, even as it is written in the Scripture, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep." It's Romans 12:15. "How can this be?" Jesus continued. "Through my spirit and my habitation in your body, you are forever joined into one body with one head. Therefore, what one feels, all feel. When one suffers, all suffer. When one rejoices, all rejoice. And as the great cloud looks upon the doings of earth, each saint responds with a cry from their heart, 'Jesus, help them.' Who has taught you this error that you cannot pray for one another once you've been translated into heaven? Have I not said, 'Pray without ceasing for one another'?" 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and Ephesians 6:18. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Do you see, my children? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit? How can the Spirit of God be separated from a believer? Not on earth or in heaven. This shall never be. It is not possible, or you would cease to exist. My Spirit permeates and supports all life. Without it, there is only a void. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. That's Colossians 1. Jesus continued, "Does that stop when you join the cloud? Of course not. Who among you can look upon the plight of even these trafficked children and not exclaim from their hearts, 'Oh, Father, please stop this atrocity'? Does not this cry echo forth in the halls of heaven and come before the Father? Of course it does. My Father is all compassion, and hears the heart cry of all souls in heaven and on earth. Cease with this error of separation of the body. There is but one head and one body." And then was brought to mind the scripture in Romans 8:26-27. "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And Jesus added to that, yes, even the groans of the cloud. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Wherever my Spirit dwells, in whoever my Spirit lives, my Holy Spirit is interceding, be it in heaven or on earth. There is no limit to his intercession. Jesus continued, and my Holy Spirit lives in all of heaven and those on earth who have accepted me as their Savior. I have given this witness to one of your present-day ministers, and here he's talking about Jesse Duplantis, who was physically taken up into heaven and spoke with the saints and angels in the moments preceding his return to earth. King David spoke to this man and said, I'm praying for you, Jesse. Does that mean David was taking my place and a request for prayer to David was tantamount to replacing me with a human? Of course not. Who would David pray to? To me, who is constantly making intercession before the Father. He was interceding for this man upon his return to earth. In the very same way, your prayer warriors intercede for you, Claire. I will tell you this much, Jesus continued. Those who do not seek truth with their whole hearts, those who refuse to renounce a religious spirit, will not accept this, even though my word clearly supports it, just as it supports the Trinity. I have revealed this to those who hear my voice above the clamor of men with their theories. Many such things as this are now opened in the Scriptures. Secrets that have been hidden are now being opened for the understanding of those who are taking part in the final battles. Just as the heavens have been opened, so have these mysteries been opened to all who respond to truth and cannot tolerate a religious spirit which openly contradicts truth. The implications of this are huge to those caught in the web of denominationalism and institutional precepts. It means that the week your grandmother was buried and you felt her presence, she truly was permitted to be present to you. It means that the dream you had of your dearest departed that warned of some danger was legitimate. It means that the cloud is always with you, even as my Spirit is always with you, because all of you dwell together in my Spirit. Where one is present, all are present, as I deem necessary. And so the devil is well aware that you can be strengthened and even prayed for by the cloud. He has feared this intercession and your connection with it, and has done all in his power to pervert it into some form of idol worship, or even the perversions of the churches that use this doctrine to acquire wealth. And indeed, I did raise up a man to protest this atrocity. He's talking about Martin Luther. But Satan used this as an opportunity to pervert the legitimate truth that all are one in my body on earth and in heaven. And even such as witches calling up the dead, which I have forbidden in my word, even that has been used to obscure this truth. There is but one body and one head, and through my Spirit, all are connected. There is so much more I have to tell you, my children, but you are still very easily swayed by men. And as your maturity in me goes deeper and wider, I will reveal these things to you, and you will see them for what they are in my word. And your mind will expand to receive all the good I have left behind for you. And then I broke in at this point and I said, wow, Lord, when I converted from the New Age, I totally rejected any dealings with the spirit realm, thinking it was all evil. Still, how do we know for sure that one from the great cloud has visited us and not just a masquerading demon? I mean, this truly is treacherous ground. Jesus continued, Claire, when your mother crossed over into heaven, and in prayer you saw her with me, and she said to you, it is true. What you told me is true. Now, she said that because she really didn't believe me when I told her about heaven and that she would be translated into a beautiful place. The Lord continued, do you think that was a familiar spirit? I answered, no. And why not? Jesus asked. Well, for one, I recognized you with her. For another, it made sense that you would permit her to be seen saying that because she really hurt me by thinking I was just telling her that so she could let go and die. I wanted her to know without a doubt that she was not going into a void, but into your arms. Jesus replied, "So would you say you discerned it?" "Yeah, I think I did." "And do not my sheep hear my voice? And am I not the Spirit of truth?" "Yes, Lord." "Well, then it is truly a matter for discernment. And that is why I have gone through great pains on this channel, to teach you discernment." "And how did you feel after she told you that?" "Well, I felt happy, peaceful, relieved, and vindicated." Jesus answered, "Exactly. And what have I taught you about the fruit of your visions and dreams?" "You've taught me to examine the fruit of the experience to see what it produces, good or bad." "Yes, that is correct. And that is what I am telling you, my people. You rely too much on men who are full of error. You must learn discernment or you are doomed to follow those who teach error. You cannot be a lazy sheep. You must be a vigilant sheep and learn to follow the shepherd only and not the wolf disguised in shepherd's clothing. But many are lazy and tied to social clubs. By that I mean you are a part of a social group that abides by certain beliefs, and anyone who thinks outside the box of those beliefs, well, they're rejected. This is why I tell you that anyone who loves father, sister, brother, mother more than they love me, the truth, cannot be my disciple. My precious, precious ones, many of you are walking around crippled by the beliefs and dogmas of a group of men. You do not have all I have left for you. You are boxed in and lacking the tools to fight the good fight. You are afraid of rejection by a group of men and women, so you keep things they don't agree with hidden from them. Do you know you are blocking the light of your candle? Have you not, in a sense, hidden your candle under a bushel basket? Are you not hampered in freedom from praying as you should because of ridicule? How many of you fear speaking in tongues, a tremendous weapon against Satan's minions? You fear it because a spouse, dear friend, or church you go to looks down upon it. So you continue to agree and walk in error, not using all the gifts you know by the Spirit I have given you. Listen closely, my chosen ones. I have called you to the truth. Do not dwell in the cage of lies Satan has fabricated through the errors of men. You must discern and weigh all things in the balance and not adhere to a social club that has cut the wings I gave you to fly. For now is the time of greater and greater truth being revealed to equip you for these last days' ministries. You have already embraced daily communion, and that is a very great step forward. Now I am asking you to be aware that you are part of my body, both here on earth and in heaven. There's no separation. I'm asking you to be open to the travels in heaven if I draw you in that direction. Don't just read about others and their experiences, but be open to me taking you to heaven, where you will meet the rest of your family who loves you, and you will see the wonders I've stored up for you there. Be brave, be resolute, be true to truth, and follow me.